saints who are in the earth, the Lord has been wondrous. I beheld the Lord ever before me.
Wisdom.
The reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians.
Let us be attentive.
Brethren, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am noisy or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. In Christ Jesus, love never ends.
Peace be with you, the reader. Arise, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be with you all.
And with your spirit.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Let us be attentive.
Glory to you.
That time when Jesus came to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, two demoniacs met him, coming out of the tomb so fierce that no one would pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of many swine was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged him, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the swine, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything and what had happened to the demoniacs. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their neighborhood. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city.
Peace be with you who proclaim the gospel.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
Seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Exactly 6 years ago, that is on Sunday, July 1st of 2012, I was in New York to celebrate the wedding of a beautiful spiritual daughter of mine. That day, it also happened to be my own 12th wedding anniversary, and so, naturally, I received a text from my wife, who was back in Colorado. It said, "Thank you for 12 unbearable years." Well, later on, I found out that, of course, the dreaded autocorrect had struck again. What Prevetetta meant to say was, of course, "Thank you for 12 unbelievable years." Much better, don't you think? And so, 6 years later, on our 18th wedding anniversary, things are certainly even more unbelievable. As we grow together towards one another, of course, towards Christ our Lord and His coming kingdom, which is the ultimate goal of marriage. As the priest lifts the crowns off of the newlyweds' heads, he prays exactly for this. O God, our God, who went to Cana of Galilee and blessed the wedding there, bless also these your servants, who by your goodness have been joined together in the communion of marriage. Bless their goings out and their comings in. Grant them a life full of good things. Take up their crowns into your kingdom and preserve them undefiled, blameless, and beyond reproach to the ages of ages. Brothers and sisters, Aristotle famously observed that marriage and the family produced by it is the fundamental social unit of society and the very nucleus of civilization. And he was correct. He deduced this by logical common sense and by observing the natural world around him. What he was observing was, in fact, what God created and established from the beginning, way back in the earthly paradise in the Garden of Eden. After fashioning Adam, the first man, God then took a rib from his side and he made Eve, the first woman. We read in Genesis that God then brought her to the man. Thus presented with Eve, Adam exclaimed, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And the Holy Scriptures continue, "Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his own wife, and they become one flesh." So it is within marriage and marriage alone, where Christ has united man and woman, that the two become one flesh in the sacramental union blessed in God's holy church. We notice something very beautiful and profound in the creation of Adam and Eve. First, we learn how man and woman are complementary to one another and come from one another. The first woman being fashioned from Adam's side, and every subsequent man being born of woman. We also see the intimate bond created by God between man and woman. And the fact that Eve came from Adam's own side is significant. It means that she is his companion and walks together with him towards the same goal, looking the same direction, side by side, and that she comes from a place close to his heart, to be cherished by him, loved by him, as if she were his own flesh. This is exactly what St. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:28 concerning marriage. "Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ loves, nourishes, and cherishes the church. From the Genesis story, we also see the ultimate matchmaker being God himself. For as we heard earlier, and God brought her to the man. God, in effect, joined woman to man. He married, really, the first couple, Adam and Eve. And this is experienced sacramentally and relived in our own marriage service when the priest takes the right hand of the woman and places it in the right hand of the man, reading this prayer. Holy God, who created man out of the dust and from his rib fashioned woman, whom you joined to him as a helper fit for him, for it seemed good to your majesty that man should not be alone on the earth. Do you now, O Master, stretch out your hand from your holy dwelling place and join these your servants? For by you is woman joined to man. Yoke them in oneness of mind, crown them into one flesh. Grant them the fruit of the womb, the joy of fair children. My beloved, as you already know, and as your Christian consciousness informs you, the sacred union of man and woman in Christ and the family produced from it is foundational to a sound society and to any semblance of a healthy civilization. Even a pre-Christian philosopher, a pagan such as Aristotle, understood this. And because the union of man and woman in Christ has been elevated to the level of a, quote, great mystery, unquote, as St. Paul declares, a holy sacrament, symbolizing the union of the bridegroom Christ to his bride, the church. The devil wishes to attack it and to destroy it. No different from what the demons did to the swine in today's gospel, wishing to hurl marriage over a cliff to perish in the raging waters of the abyss below. Let us not be blind to this fact, brothers and sisters. The demons are real and wish to desecrate everything that is sacred. And by tearing down the divine institution of marriage, they seek to tear down even the very faith of Christians. Let marriage be honorable, and let the marital bed be undefiled, writes St. Paul to the Hebrews. Let us uphold the sanctity of marriage as it was ordained by God in the beginning and as it was confirmed by Jesus Christ by his presence at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. This begins first and foremost within our own marriages, within our own households, in how husband and wife sacrificially love one another and become a pure icon, even an unblemished reflection of the nuptial union between Christ and his church. Let us also take to heart the inspired preaching of St. John Chrysostom, who says, the love of husband and wife is the force that welds society together. When harmony prevails, the children are raised well, the household is kept in order, and neighbors, friends, and relatives praise the results. Great benefits, he says, both for families and for nations, are thus produced. To God, the celebrant of mystical and pure marriage, be the power and the honor and the glory forever. Amen. Rise at this time.